seachtain an Indo-Ascaliger.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach an seo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir in reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus go mina fnacht gáir a chlig sár ducha sin éair. Ná ní bhíon ann tar d'oraach sé sin. Vin Marav.
Shachtan. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on the Indo Daily, après ski, what's next for Gwyneth Paltrow and her brand? She's an Oscar-winning actress with a wellness empire and who, until recently, could really do no wrong.
We were kind of messing around and I smelled this beautiful thing and I was like, this smells like my vagina. And I was kidding, obviously.
Now, whether that was introducing us to the idea of conscious uncoupling or indeed vagina candles, Gwyneth Paltrow seemed unstoppable. Until she was.
When you said, what are you doing?
Yes.
Okay. Like, why did you do that?
Yes.
And he said, I think you skied into me.
Yes.
And that's when you were furious and said, you skied directly into my effing back.
Sorry.
At the top of your lungs.
Yes, I did.
As the trial of who hit whom continues in the Utah ski crash lawsuit, is the actor's public persona of perfection on a slippery slope?
Courtroom, and I think she and her lawyer do her no service when she's playing the part of a prima donna and looking like a sad sack when she's sitting there at the stand.
I'm Siobhan McGuire, and on today's episode, I'm joined by the Irish Independent's entertainment correspondent, Mel Finn, to hear more about this courtroom drama that has us all talking. Mel, this trial in Utah, it's like something scripted in a Hollywood writer's room.
You were wearing goggles, a helmet.
Yes.
Okay, kind of looked like everybody else on the slope.
That's always my intention.
Okay, probably had a better ski outfit though, I bet.
I still have the same one.
It rattled her and it physically hurt her. When they were dismissed, they went down to the bottom of the hill and who was waiting for her? Her daughter, Apple, now 18, then 8. I think. No.
11.
Sorry, I got that mixed up.
And I'm assuming, and you're under oath here, that you're a good tipper.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. I wouldn't expect anything less.
Please give us the dummy's guide to what this is all about.
It's essentially a he said, she said scenario. They were both on this very, very exclusive slope. You know, Sundance is staged there. It's all like champagne yurts, whatever that is. It sounds very nice. It's like the elite of America. They practically check your bank balance before you letting you on the ski lift to go up. So this is like very premium, very prestige resort. During the incident in question in February 2016, Terry Sanderson, a retired optometrist, he's 76 years of age. So he is suing the Oscar-winning actress for $300,000.
At the time of the collision, were you aware of the rule that if you're in a collision, you need to share your name, your contact information with the person that you're involved in a collision with?
I don't think I was aware of the rule.
Were you aware that there is kind of a rule of common decency to do that?
I would not have left the scene without leaving my information, and my information was left.
Did you provide that information?
No, Eric Christensen, who was the ski instructor with us, said he would leave all the information.
Now, it was originally 3.1 million, but the judge would not allow that amount, so it was reduced to $300,000. The essence of the case is that she slammed into him on a green slope, which is essentially like a beginner's slope. But she is countersuing him, saying that in fact, he skied into her. So as it stands now, it's a he said, she said thing, and the public are loving it.
Nobody's really coming out of this good, are they?
No one is really covering themselves in glory here at all. So when she took to the stand, this is Gwyneth, on Friday, she kind of alleges that she thought there was something really untoward happening at the time. You know, she said during 2 hours of testimony, she said, I was skiing and two skis came between my skis, forcing my legs apart. And then there was a body pressing against me in a strange grunting noise. You know, my brain was trying to make sense of what happened. And I thought, is this a practical joke? Is someone doing something perverted? This is really, really strange. She was kind of intimating that some kind of assault was happening and she felt violated, which is kind of more serious than anything else that was said about her.
I was skiing and two skis came between my skis, forcing my legs apart, and then there was a body pressing against me, and there was a very strange grunting noise. So my brain was trying to make sense of what was happening. I thought, is this a practical joke? Is someone like doing something perverted? This is really, really strange. My mind was going very, very quickly, and I was trying to ascertain what was happening.
So she's really playing it for all the drama that it's worth. You know, her Oscar-winning credentials are coming out in full force. And, you know, people who are into fashion and her style are loving the fact that she's turning up in $1,600 Celine boots and, you know, her cashmere, all, of course, from her own range. You know, she's probably not dressed in less than $5,000 a day. So some cynics are saying that she is using this as a way to showcase herself, showcase her range. She's bringing in her branded bottles. There was reports that her attorney was trying to give presents, essentially goodie bags, to the bailiffs in the court to say thank you for doing their job. And the judge was like, no, that's like so inappropriate on so many levels. Don't do that.
Yeah. And on Monday, we had Sanderson take the stand and give his version of what happened. He is saying that he was actually hit by Gwyneth. He was quoted as saying he heard this blood-curdling scream. And then he's hit.
I just remember everything was great. And then I heard something I've never heard at a ski resort. And that was a blood-curdling scream. Just, I can't do it. It was, and then, boom. And it was like somebody was out of control and going to hit a tree and was going to die. And that's what I had until I was hit.
It was just all very strange, very over the top, very American, may I say, you know, played for the full drama. So what he is saying is that she, in fact, slammed into him and she pushed him forward. And it wasn't what she was saying, that he went into her. Basically, she went into him. And so we had mock-ups and everything going on about shadowy figures in ski suits with goggles, etc. I mean, Lord knows what's going on.
We've heard about this GoPro video footage that has gone missing, that apparently this was emailed out by Sanderson to his family with the tagline, I'm famous.
Do you recall saying that you agreed that saying I'm famous was a crazy thing to say? Agree?
Absolutely, it's not me. I don't buy into that.
But it was you, right? Just to be clear. When you say it wasn't me, it was in fact you.
It's the other personality that's inhabiting my body right now.
And you blame Gwyneth Paltrow for that?
Yes.
And after you were screaming to him, isn't that when Mr. Sanderson said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry?
He said, I said, you skied directly into my effing back. And he said, oh, sorry, sorry, I'm sorry.
Right. And that was you screaming at him while he's on the ground still, right?
I was yelling at him. Well, I was pretty upset.
Yeah, it's kind of reminding me a little bit of, do you remember the phone that went missing in the North Sea during the Colleen Rooney trial? It's a little bit of that. It's like, did it actually exist? What happened? You know, but basically his, Sanderson's lawyers are saying that the actress was skiing recklessly at the time. She was distracted by her son Moses, who was 9 at the time. He was further up the slope. So essentially she wasn't looking where she was going. And a witness says she slammed him very hard. She hit him directly in the back. The tips of his skis go down and he goes face down, spread eagled, with Gwyneth on top of him.
And it's supposed to finish up later this week, Mel. You have Gwyneth's kids and her husband, Brad Falchuk, also taking the stand. But anything we've heard from Gwyneth hasn't really served her terribly well.
And he has deterred you from enjoying the rest of what was a very expensive vacation.
Well, I lost half a day of skiing.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Right.
This is how the other half live. Like, what effect did this incident have on you? Well, you know, she missed a day skiing. You poor thing. She's just not coming across as very relatable. But my question is, was she ever? When was she relatable ever? You know, she is the original Nepo baby. She's the offspring of two very famous actors. She is essentially Hollywood royalty. So I wouldn't really expect her to come out with anything resembling a normal testimony at this stage.
But she is adamant, you know, that this was a very traumatizing event to happen at the time. We now know that she spent something in the region of $8,800 on a family day ski pass and tuition. Now, that's something I could never even get my head around.
That just shows how unrelatable the whole incident is being played out. And it is, it's kind of illuminating how the other half live on these, you know, ski slopes. They're just far above the rest of us in all kinds of ways.
This isn't the first time, as you mentioned, that Gwyneth Paltrow has been at the heart of some controversies. We know that she runs Goop, this lifestyle empire now, and she has a podcast that where she talks about her well-being and her various cleanses week in, week out. And then last week, there was huge backlash because we've gone from seeing Gwyneth on the stand to seeing her in front of her podcast mic talking about eating bone broth and, you know, intermittent fasting, and people simply cannot relate at all.
I have coffee, but I really like soup for lunch. I have bone broth for lunch a lot of the days. For dinner, I try to eat, you know, according to paleo. So lots of vegetables. It's really important for me to support my detox.
But she also does an hour of movement every day and does dry brushing, whatever that is. Spends 30 minutes in her infrared sauna. And then she eats according to paleo. So lots of vegetables. It's really important for her to support her detox. And then she said she also had a long COVID. So of course, you know, the predictable backlash was sparked by all this, people calling her like an almond milk mom, saying she's just completely on another planet. And then, of course, she's backtracked furiously and said, oh, no, this isn't every day. Like, I do eat what I want sometimes. And, you know, I do have dinners, but it's just the healthiest way that she can be.
This is fine. There's nothing wrong with any one of us talking on a podcast about, you know, what we might like to eat in any given day. Not that I think people would be hanging on to my every word if I was to tell them something like that. But what is kind of slightly dubious about this is that Gwyneth has a huge following. She has an awful lot of American mums signing up to Goop, buying the product, believing what they're being told. So the likes of being told to be on this very restrictive diet by Gwyneth's doctor, who isn't actually a medical doctor, as it turns out, that's all slightly dangerous, Mel.
It is, absolutely. I mean, she appeals to, you know, the kind of 1%, the kind of waspy moms, the upper echelon of American society, and they'll happily spend $500 on a candle that might smell like, you know,
This is the vagina candle. Yes. Let's just say it, Mel, and call it out because she has. She brought this candle out called "This Smells Like My Vagina," and she has another candle with "This. This smells like my like an orgasm."
Totally normal stuff. Yeah.
Say what you like about her. It got that vagina candle got more publicity than any other product at the time because everyone was fascinated and going, what the hell is this? Now, as it turns out, she did speak with Seth Meyers and it does sound like a very nice smelling candle with just a wrong name.
So then it actually became kind of a funny thing where it was A, really funny to us.
Yeah.
But also a little bit punk rock and, you know, I mean, I think women... a lot of us have grown up feeling certain degrees of shame around our body or whatever. So this is just a little bit of a, you know, subversive candle for all of us out there.
And I have to tip my cap to the marketing of it because I will say in my entire life, I've never heard more people say, have you heard about this candle? There's a new candle. Have you heard?
The publicity you can pay for this. So yeah, this wellness and lifestyle brand that she launched in 2008, Goop, you know, it's grown exponentially. You know, it's now a multi-million dollar business with a website, magazine, pop-up shops, and it offers content on, you know, beauty, food, fashion, travel, and it sells a range of products, including sex toys, and of course the aforementioned candle for $75. But it does have a controversial history, Goop, because it's been criticized for promoting potentially dangerous practices like detoxes and vaginal steaming, and a range of female health doctors have come out and said this is not good. You know, your innards will clean themselves naturally. You don't need to be detoxing or steaming or putting anything inside yourself that isn't medically approved. You know, you don't need to do anything; it cleans itself. But she's definitely
thank
cashed.
You for clarifying that, Melanie.
if you're following her, people will actually believe they need to do this stuff.
This
you know?
Is the problem, Mel,
which is so dangerous.
Advising people on products that are making outrageous claims.
Yeah.
None of these claims are fact, but a lot of people will buy into it, thinking, "Well, if I can." You know, Gwyneth Paltrow is a beautiful looking woman. She looks after herself. What I'm trying to say, Mel, is that Goop has an awful lot of products, an awful lot of advice, but a lot of stuff is unsubstantiated. And that's the problem.
Oh, it's complete snake oil. You know, none of this has been proven, but no one cares. They love it. She has hit on something. She has tapped into a market that was previously ignored. You would never imagine selling a candle that alleged to smell like someone's vagina, you know, and actually making a decent business out of that. It would be dismissed as pure woohoo. And a lot of this is, but when you have, like you say, an Oscar-winning actress who looks like her, who's the offspring of Hollywood royalty, it comes with her royal stamp of approval. And a lot of women's needs hereto are kind of ignored. So they don't care whether it works or not. It makes them feel good. It makes them feel like it's self-care, like they're looking after themselves. They're like, yeah, hell, I'm going to spend $200 on a jade egg to, you know, improve my orgasm or, you know, correct hormonal imbalances. You know, of course it's not going to do that. It's not going to do any of those things. But, you know, the woman buying that, or the man indeed, isn't going to know that or isn't going to care. It's about investing in an idea, in a dream, you know, and she is the Hollywood dream, essentially. So anything she sells, people are going to be buying. She's a captive audience.
Parking Goop for one second, I mean, she's given us some incredible phrases over the decades. We had conscious uncoupling when she was divorcing Coldplay frontman Chris Martin.
As Paltrow told me just a few months ago,
it's not easy to be married for 10 years.
Apparently 10 years was enough. The couple said in their Splitsville statement, while we love each other very much, we will remain separate. We are, however, and always will be a family.
She split from Chris in 2014, I think, and that was after 10 years of marriage. And she did say about you know, we've decided to consciously uncouple, you know, instead of just saying we're divorcing. And everyone's like, what does that even mean? It makes, you know, it sounds like two worms decided to part ways or something. And then afterwards, she said, she moved to clarify what she meant. She said she knows it sounded a bit full of itself, painfully progressive and hard to swallow, which of course sparked more jokes. And she said that the term is introduced to her by the couple's therapist and as a way to describe an amicable separation and to avoid bitterness. And, you know, she said afterwards in 2020 in British Vogue, the public surprise quickly gave way to ire and derision. And she said the intensity of the response made her bury her head in the sand deeper than she ever had in her public life.
So all of this kind of is one of the reasons why we are fascinated by this trial in Utah. And as we mentioned earlier, Gwyneth isn't coming out looking very well. She isn't looking very well in any of this so far. Is she likely to have caused any kind of reputational damage, do you think?
It's hard to know at this stage. I mean, I don't really think so, to be honest, because it's not like Johnny Depp, for example, who was, you know, relying on his movie career and it was basically left in tatters for years as a result of this. He lost huge, huge deals with Disney while the controversies were ongoing with Amber Heard. Unlike him, Goop is her main source of business. I mean, people may poke fun at her and be a bit woo-hoo, etc. But unless someone can actually prove she's hugely lying about what happened, you know, and so far that hasn't happened. It's basically a he said, she said thing. Now, she doesn't come across as very likable because she admitted that the incident happened and she admitted she started cursing. It was like, what the F, you effing hit me, you effing la la la. I get the impression, Siobhan, if it wasn't someone really rich and famous, and she'd just been a bit nicer about it. Jesus, sorry. You know, like an Irish person would be, oh, Jesus. You'd be apologising even if it was your fault. You'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry about that. I didn't see you there, or I was going too fast, or yeah, I was distracted by my kid. You feel like if this had happened anywhere but in America, in this really elite ski resort, it could have been very quickly sorted, expedited the whole thing by going, oh, Jesus, sorry about that. Give me your details. If you have any medical bills, I'll sort that for you. Like, this should never have gone to court. You know, it's like one of those nuisance things. You know, we're very glad it did, though, because look at us. We're talking about it this morning, so.
And a huge thanks to the Irish Independent's entertainment correspondent, Mel Finn, for joining me today. I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by myself, researched by Saoirse Mulgrew, with sound by John Smith. Archive clips from Sky News, Washington Post, CNN, NBC, BBC, ABC News, Reuters, and independent.ie. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.